Okay, hey, so this is the first episode of the Buy and Build podcast. Our whole thing is buying companies and building it up instead of starting things from scratch and spending 6 months working on something that's not going to work. We've got me, Nick, and Daryl over here.
What's going on, guys? Happy to be
Hey.
here. Excited for our first episode. Going to talk about all the things that we're going to do with our business here, and hopefully you can learn as much as we do in this whole process.
So, Daryl, I guess first off, a little bit of your background. You know, what have you done?
Just a little bit about myself. I went to university, didn't really do very much with that degree. Went into sales for quite a long time, had quite a bit of experience in the sales field, but I've always had a passion for being an entrepreneur, starting my own business. So I've done things from fitness clothing line, selling on Amazon, drop shipping. I have a 3D illusion gallery now, but one of my passions is I really want to get into the online space, get recurring revenue, and no better place to go than that two-way camera and live fitness right now with the way the world is right now.
A little bit about my background, software engineer. I used to be a lobbyist back in Tallahassee, working in the state capitol, and quite a bit of experience in startups, seeing them succeed, seeing them fail, seeing them, basically go sideways for a while, and a number of years in Fortune 500 companies. So kind of as wide-ranging as the software experience goes. Recently I spent, roughly 6 months to a year building out like my own startups. And just have seen a few of them, kind of just drag their feet instead of getting market adoption. And part of the reason we're doing this podcast is because I think, Daryl, I don't want to speak for you, but I think both of us have seen many, many companies fail before they finish something or before they find any sort of real market traction. And I think we can jump the script there and get to the easy part.
Yeah, I think what's enticing about this opportunity is that we're purchasing a business and we actually didn't invest with a lot of capital. And I think one of the hardest parts when you're building a brand new business is you got to start from scratch. You got to start figuring out what the brand is, what it does, all these different things. And you can get lost in that analysis paralysis. Whereas here, you're taking a huge jump. You may be investing some money, but you got a head start.
So my question for you, starting a business, what is the hardest part? There's only one right answer.
Taking action, literally, it's just taking action.
Oh man, I was going to say picking a name.
Oh God, I don't think so. That's probably the easiest part for me.
I'll tell you the last project I was working on, it was called Rehab Live for 6 months before we were able to switch to a better name.
Wow.
It was a physical therapy company. It had nothing to do with drug addiction.
Wow, if that's the only problem you have, man, you've got no problems at all.
Okay, so since this is a totally different question, not like, hey, what's going to work? What's the easiest thing to get started with? It's really more of a what's a feasible project. So what were the most important things that you were looking for when we went through and found these projects?
Personally, for me, it was trying to feel how comfortable I was with that idea. If I could see that idea growing in my head, what I was capable of understanding in that concept, there was a lot of opportunities out there for, say, Shopify apps and a few other different businesses. I just wasn't familiar with that. And if I'm not familiar with something, I'm not sure if I'm ready to jump into business, learn all of that, and learn that business and to grow it. Whereas this situation, I'm fairly comfortable with all the tech stack that's involved. We got WordPress, we got Zoom, and I know quite a bit about fitness. I've been doing it for the last 16, 17 years. I just think it's a great idea. So, I let you guys know about that idea.
Yeah, totally agree with all that. I think personally for me, one of the big things was being able to get a company that I thought was going to be able to run itself at some point. I wasn't trying to buy myself into, having multiple full-time jobs. I don't plan on this being the only thing I work on in the next 5 years. So a big part for me was how do we get a project where we can, spend a limited amount of time. There was a clear path to success there. And in this measure, success is making our money back and getting a good profit. And I think a big issue that people have is they go to get acquired And in that case, like there's only a couple companies who will really be interested in you, and your success lies on a couple of companies thinking you're interesting enough. I wanted to make sure that there was other paths to a success other than, you know, private equity firm or Google.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just feel there's so much opportunity with this type of business, because if you look at the way things have been going, there's like Peloton, Eklon, and like all these different companies that have a subscribe-based business where you're working out from a home. Even Apple's doing it. But a lot of times it either costs a lot of money or they're pre-recorded. And I think that's where we're different and we can be flexible and pivot and make sure that we're thinking about our end user at the end of the day and making sure we're bringing the right product to the market.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we kind of jumped the gun here. Do you want to tell people what the company is?
I already had it in my head, so I already said it. So the company is a live fitness class company. Basically how it works is you go to the site, you sign up and you can get a trial. And then during that class, there'll be a teacher in front of you live over Zoom. So why this is really important is because one of the pain points of a lot of people who are working out from home is that they always feel they're not accountable for what they're doing. So if they're not accountable for what they're doing, they're not going to be taking the proper measures to stay fit and come to classes.
And an important thing here is live is not like there's one person doing an exercise on like a YouTube live. It's a two-way video. Everyone's able to see each other, you know, if you turn your video on. And it's really more of a group exercise than everyone's watching someone do an exercise as they guide them. Okay, so circling back here, you know, did you have any deal breakers? Was there anything that you thought was not a viable path?
You mean like business-wise, what we looked at? So just so everyone knows, the site that we're using was MicroAcquire. And, you know, not to go on a tangent, but maybe we should actually say why we came up with this idea in the first place.
Yeah, sure.
All right, you can go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's this guy, Sean Puri. Sean's in My First Million. It's a podcast. He's a successful, I'll say investor now, and successful founder in his own right. And he likes to talk a lot about things that are not VC-funded billion-dollar ideas, but can make you a lot of money and be successful. And he's basically like an idea machine. Right. So Sean had this whole idea of why not get a very, very small business, use that as basically your MBA and just grow a business there. And, after seeing that tweet and hearing him talk about it a little bit, we got together and started looking.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. Personally love the podcast. I built a business out of ideas from the podcast itself. So, this was just an extra step, just seeing, what else was out there and taking the affirmative steps to move forward.
Yeah, cool. So deal breakers.
Deal breakers for me, anything that I did not understand or it sounds weird, like an intuition and or like a fire where I said, okay, I know I can grow this. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm willing to work no matter what, even if I feel like, I didn't feel like it. I think sometimes you have to be passionate about what you're trying to sell at the end of the day, because if you are, or what kind of service you want to provide, because if you aren't, you're not going to put your heart into it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, not to get, I know people get into the numbers and the analytics and the metrics, and they're never going to be perfect. That's just the facts. Like if you want a reason to back out and not do something, there are plenty of reasons of doing it. But then if you want to be the small percentage who are going to take action and do what you want to do, you'll find a reason to do it. Just make sure it's the right reasons.
And you said something important here. At companies this size, the fucking numbers are terrible, right? It's the accounting doesn't exist. The accounting is let me print out a sheet from Stripe.
Yeah.
No one knows what their expenses are. It's all like fly by your seat. It's, it's not default alive. No one's cleaning up what they're doing. It's all just a scramble. If you're looking for an excuse to get out of it, you're going to find one for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Agreed.
For me, one of the big deal breakers was I didn't want to do direct to consumer with one-off sales, right? I think that's such a nuanced marketing game that I did not feel I could compete in that world. I think it's very, very easy to undercut people and compete on the exact same grounds. And I think there's a lot of people out there trying to find those opportunities. And I didn't want to try and, you know, teach myself enough to be able to compete with people who have been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah, agreed. I think one thing that I did overlook, and I didn't even mention this to you, was the fact that we have a bunch of trainers that we have to talk to. And I didn't even account for that at all. It's like, you know, now that we've just got the company live February 1st, we took over, we met everybody, setting up one-on-one times with all the trainers. And, you know, I love meeting new people. I love understanding what the reason is behind what they're doing and helping them get to their goals. So, you know, it's definitely a fun part, but it's more consuming than I actually expected. But, you know, that's to be expected when you start a business. You know, you go full-fledged and you do your best, and if you put your heart into it, they'll see it and they're going to put their heart into it too.
Yeah. And that's actually a good point. One of the big things for me is I did not want to acquire a company by myself, right? I think it's so easy to fail. And actually the guy that we acquired from told us he just got burnt out and couldn't get motivated, right? And that's a real thing that happens for everyone. Like, there's the reason having, you know, one or two co-founders is so good, and everyone like basically requires that. I think it's a more or less unwritten YC rule. I think they barely accept anyone who has less than two co-founders. The reason for that is it's cyclical when people burn out, you know? Some people are really, really just fried, and it's like, okay, now I'm going to take the baton and run with it. You chill for 2 weeks and, you know, get back up.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I've done it. I've tried to do it a few times by myself, and it's just a painful road, like launching Amazon. It gets tiring. Like, you're up all night trying to talk to suppliers, and then you got to do your listing, and then you got to figure out how to launch. There's just so many steps, and can't really talk to anyone about it because they don't understand unless they do Amazon too. And, you know, they're in their own world. They're not in the same journey as you, like in that way, for the same goal, the same product.
Yeah. I've always thought it would be interesting to have almost a coach above that. You know, I know they have like coaches, which are more or less just therapists, but like, you know, the quarterback gets tunnel vision, and they need like the coach to be like, this is what's happening out there, so here's the adjustment we have to make. I always thought it'd be interesting to have a coach above, you know, small companies like that, going like, hey, don't get tunnel vision here. You're locking in on the wrong things.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe another idea.
Yeah, there you go. I wonder if anyone's selling a business like that. So I guess moving into a more general theme here, what's, you know, the core thesis that you have here for how to run these businesses? Is there like a, you know, marketing first is always the approach, or you know, redesign things? What's the, if there is any, general playbook that you think is the right way to step into this?
You know, the way I like to look at businesses is I like to determine, you know, what's existing currently in the business, what's good, what's bad, and what are the opportunities? And if you can spot the opportunities and you can actually make a resolution for that opportunity, then, you know, you're golden, because it just speaks to the amount of possibilities that can happen and what can become of your business as long as you resolve those problems.
Yeah. From my point of view, I wanted to find something that had clear holes, right? You know, in talking with Jonathan about this, he told us he hadn't done too much advertising. He didn't have a lot of experience there. Our first conversation, we walked away and said, like, they're not charging enough. You know, just from a classic private equity stance, that seems to be a good approach. So I think that was a big thing for me.
Yeah, I hear you. When you hear about all those things that they didn't do, you're just thinking in your head, well, how can I do this to improve? And just thinking in that way, it's the best thing you could possibly do. That's how you end up winning, is by understanding what the problems are and then knowing the solutions.
Yeah. But one thing that you said that I think is kind of critical here is you didn't go in with a plan, you know, in your back pocket, like, whatever company I buy, I'm going to do this, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't necessarily go in with an immediate plan. Like, there is one kind of in your head, but there's going to be so many things that come out of the blue that you weren't aware of or how to figure it out. The only way that you can resolve that situation is by actually doing and going through it. We didn't know we were going to set up a meeting and meet everybody. I didn't know I was doing a one-on-one with every trainer. I just went with my instincts and said, okay, you know, this is a people person business. I need to meet all of these people. I need to look at the scheduling. What's going on with the data? How do I improve this marketing? Is there any assets that we can use right now that haven't been used? It's just knowing what you got and how to keep going with that and improving it.
Yeah, I gotcha. Did you look at things and go, what's my skill set? That's the type of company I want to get into, something missing my skill set? Or did you look for a more general company that has a few different holes that you think you could plug there adequately?
That's a good question, actually. Small fact, if anybody ever says great question, it usually means they don't have the answer to it. Maybe I'll let you answer that and I can't go back to think about it.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of took both approaches, right? So if I'm going by my skill set and I go, we're going to do a tech heavy play, what's the thing where I could have the highest multiple? It's going to be a SaaS business. SaaS businesses are super, super hot right now. They're trading at super high multiples. So if, you know, the goal is ever to get acquired there, that's the business where you can have the most success. I really did look for something that was more of a generalist role. And a big point in that is, you know, my goal is to build companies. And if I'm going to buy one that's relatively cheap, like I want to get the widest range of skills out of it. I feel like I've gotten a lot of tech skills from being in software. And if you're trying to acquire something to, grow your own skill set, probably don't double down on what you're the best at, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I will say I'm not a marketing pro, so we nailed it on finding stuff that I'm not a pro at.
Yeah, don't worry, you'll learn in the process. That's how you do everything. The good thing is I have a little bit of experience in doing business. You've got the dev skills, and I think we can work together on doing that properly. And I've started a business where making a t-shirt business where I didn't know anything about it. My business partner didn't know anything about it. We just said, screw it, let's just try it. So we're already steps ahead of that.
I did that with a coffee shop, online coffee store, 4 months ago. And, that's basically where I learned almost everything I know about advertising.
Yeah.
Just trying to get coffee sales. Okay. So with this company, what's sort of like a longer term goal here? If you're looking 1 year out, 3 years out, 5 years out, do you have those in mind? Are you going day to day since it's something brand new, or, where do you stand with that?
I just scribbled on a little notepad on my computer saying all right, this is the target goal for how many people I'd love to join the platform and to be regular subscribers. I think it's really important to have goals, because if you set out a goal and you try and achieve that, it's a lot better than if you didn't have goals. It just makes things more tangible and understandable. And in that process, I just want to learn more about myself, what I'm capable of doing, and, working together with you on trying to figure out, how do we run this business?
Yeah. So do you have specific numbers that you have jotted down? Do you have a precise goal in the future? Do you have X growth loosely?
Yeah, I do. I actually have the numbers written down, but I don't have them handy right now. So maybe that'll be for another episode when we get to that point and see if we actually match those goals.
I think a second episode should be specific numbers. Let's hold ourselves accountable and go from there.
Wow. Next level. Got podcasts and talking about numbers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have specific numbers written down. I do have general goals. Those sort of general goals are hit break even in, 3 months, be default alive, be making money. From there, it's grow our investment 10x in the next year or two. It's very, large numbers because it's a small starting point, right?
Yeah.
But that's kind of my current goals. Do you have a measure for success? What's successful in your mind?
I mean, I don't think I've gotten to that point yet, just because it's so new and so fresh. I know when I started my in-person 3D illusion gallery, I did have a number in mind. We actually hit that number, which was awesome. But at this point, yeah, I think it's the same thing. It's that break even number first, and then go from there and just keep moving more and more up the ladder there to make sure that it's in the green.
Yeah. I'm at the same place. It's the break even, right? Break even is just once you're making money, if you just go totally flat, you're still alive. It's the default alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge, huge thing for a new company. There's so many expenses just to get going.
I think one thing that maybe we didn't really think about is in terms of having a business where there are trainers, there are costs involved. And I know from my other business, labor is one of the most expensive overheads there possibly is.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that we definitely have to keep in mind here. But how do we incentivize these trainers to do the best job that they can and help bring more people to the platform too?
Yeah, that is is always an issue. How are we going to grow this company?
That's a great question. You know, I think we're just going to have to start picking certain tactics, put it together in a strategy, do your testing. It's all about testing. It's all about trying different things. You know, we've talked about setting up an actual concrete referral program. You know, we can do that through our current customers, or we can do that with our trainers. How do we get our community more involved so then the process is more sticky and they want to keep coming back and they're part of it and they want to scream to the rooftops, hey, you know, come join this live fitness class. We'd love to have you. No ads have been run before. I have quite a bit of experience running social media ads on Facebook or Instagram. So, you know, that's definitely an avenue that we want to touch on. So it's just trying all those different things, seeing what works. And then, you know, if it doesn't work, go back to the drawing board and figure out how do we do this better?
Yeah. I know the one I'm most excited about is reaching out to these small companies that just raised a round of funding and trying to get corporate business to business sales going on there. You know, I think that's high multiple individual sale thing. And it's, if I was running a company and I just raised $750,000 and wanted to give my 15 employees some sort of benefit, like in COVID, getting a gym membership is nice.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And, you know, for them, if they take on that initiative, it's us trying to figure out, hey, how do we do this the best we can so they have the best experience they can? Because they might tell other companies about this whole thing too.
Yeah. So I guess my last question here is, at what point do you go, okay, this is great, let's go buy another one?
I'm not even at that point. You know, in my mind, I'm linear, point A to point B. How do we get to this goal? How to laser focus and target it? Don't get too big because, you know, while it's important to look at the macro, you've got to look at the micro too. Take baby steps before you take giant leaps. It's the compound effect. There's a book on it, you know? It's the little things that you do over time that literally compound into what's going to result in your result. So, you know, if it's in our destiny to have the next business and it's in 6 months from now, 12 months from now, we'll know.
You know, you're kind of a dreamer.
Yeah, whatever. Just throwing out numbers here. First podcast, give me a break.
You had a few, like, follow your heart. If you do it, they'll know. No, I like it. It's good. For me, I try to do long-term games and short-term games all at the same time. So, you know, the short-term game is we bought a company, right? We have to execute on that and we have to make, you know, real progress there. The long-term game is I want to spin out a bunch of companies and do it a bunch of times. And, you know, maybe in 6 months we go like, whoa, that does not make sense, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's really valuable to hold both those things in your head at the same time.
Yeah.
I think the fact that I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm an investor. I buy companies and grow them. You know, as we're 2 days into the first one, is a mindset that kind of lets you take multiple different angles.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that's going to be it for the first one, right?
Yeah. You know, there's definitely more to talk about, plenty of stuff that we're going to work on. We've got appointments set up with all of our different trainers. We actually have some interns that I didn't even know we had until we purchased the company. So, you know, lots of learning experiences here. Lots of people to meet. Going to be lots of fun. Love that we're taking this opportunity to build this podcast and share it with everybody, because, you know, it's exciting and scary at the same time. You know, I'm the type of person who naturally feels like I've got to resolve a problem and make it look good before I put it out there. And with this type of situation, you can't. We're transparent. We're going to try and figure it out. We might fail and fall flat on our face, or hopefully it's the otherwise, because, you know, we're going to do our best.
Yeah. And I think we picked a good project that's teed up to have success. You know, we're starting on third.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, that's it for the first episode of Buy and Build. So we will see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We appreciate it. Tune in for the next one.